WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Jell-O, toilet paper rolls, and bananas are the things Walter Polifchak first fell in love with about America. He was 12 years old when his parents emigrated here from the Soviet Union. Soon after the family arrived, his parents decided to go back to their home in the Ukraine. Walter, however, liked it here and asked the U.S. government to grant him political asylum against his parents' wishes. His case and the numerous court battles that followed became front-page news. Walter's 20 now and a U.S. citizen. He's written a book about his experiences in the United States titled Freedom's Child. I asked Walter when he first became aware of his parents' dissatisfaction with America.
My dad basically made up his mind to return back to Soviet Ukraine the first night we arrived here. We drove from O'Hare Airport in Chicago to my aunt's house on the northwest side, where he was complaining that he couldn't stand it here. He was depressed and he was bored. He couldn't handle life here already the first night, and he wanted to return us. And we figured he'd adapt to the thing, you know, he'd kind of fall in place. And as time went on, he started calling Soviet embassy, and it came to the point where he said, "I'm going back." And he tried to go back by himself, and he was, I think basically his whole idea was to dump the family here.
Why didn't he just go by himself?
The Soviet government would not let him go back by himself. If he came back by himself, people would have started saying, if it's that bad, why did you come back and left your entire family back? When he came back with the rest of the family, with my brother and my mother, then there was a big propaganda for Soviet Union saying, well, America is really bad, like we were telling you, and this and this. But story about me, they were writing articles that I was kidnapped and drugged, and that was taken away from them, basically.
I want to ask you about when you ran away from your parents. After you found out that they wanted to leave and that they expected you to come with them, you ran away with your sister to live at your cousin Walter's apartment?
Right.
Your parents reported you missing, and the police found you and took you to the police station.
Right, they took me to the police station. I was scared and lost because I don't know what was going on. I was in my backyard fixing up my bike where police came and grabbed me and brought me to the police station in Chicago. And I was there for quite a few hours before anybody came to my rescue or my help or anything, because nobody knew where I was at to start with.
What did you think was going to happen?
At that point, I was just scared to death because I don't know what was going to happen.
You said that you would have preferred to never see your parents again rather than to have to go back to the Soviet Union if there was a choice between that. It seems like such a strong statement for a 12-year-old to make. And you were 12
a strong
year old
statement,
when you said it.
But I had to look out for my best, what was best for me. And, you know, Soviet Union is just not another country like Canada or England or other countries like that, where if it was in the same situation, fine, I would have been more than happy to go back to England or Canada or free countries where I could reach 18 or 21 and come to the United States, because that's where I really want to be. Soviet Union is not like that. It's just a completely different country. It's when you go there, it's like you'll never get out. It's like going to hell.
There was a series of trials, and during the trials, you were still very new to America, and you didn't speak much English. It must have been very confusing to you as your fate was being debated in the courtroom, because you must have had trouble following what all the lawyers were saying.
I was scared to death because nobody would ever give me any type of guarantee for the whole period from the time I ran away from home till the day I got my citizenship in my hands that I was going to be able to stay in the United States, and nobody ever gave me any guarantee. So I live in fear through every single going day to day, not knowing what was going to happen in court today or what was going to happen tomorrow or next week or on and on.
When did your parents leave America to return to the Ukraine?
My parents, they wanted to leave within 6 months because the visa was still good for the 6 months. You know, they could still return without making new papers, but things got a little tied up with me running away and everything. And about a year and a half later, I was going on visitations to them with the State Department. You know, just hopefully we could reconcile, you know, and get the family back together. Where I seen them packing up and I said, "Where are you guys going?" "Well, we're moving to suburbs with our friends." Not me thinking for a moment, you know, I didn't think much of it, and that was like on a Friday, where next thing I see on the news, they're getting on a plane boarding to go to Soviet Union.
When your parents returned to the Soviet Union, you stayed here along with your sister, Natalie, but your youngest brother, who was seven at the time,
he
went back with your parents to the
right.
Soviet Union. Do you miss him?
Yes, I do. And in fact, when my parents went back, they had another child, which is like 2 years old now. Her name is Julie. It's my little sister, and I never seen her yet. So I'd like to see her in the near future somewhere.
Your brother must be very curious about you, too, about what's happened with your life.
I'm sure he is.
Before the split happened in the family, were you close with your parents?
Our family has never been close. My dad's been on a... He was a bus driver, so he was home twice a week maybe or so, three times with luck. So, and my mother was working in the afternoons, you know, when I was in school in the morning. So we hardly ever... We never had a good relationship as a family together to start with, which I think kind of led to even more breakdown.
One of the issues that came out in this trial is, should a 12-year-old have the right to decide which country they're going to live in, and should a 12-year-old have the right to separate from their parents if their parents want to live in a place different from the place that the 12-year-old wants to live in? Now that you're a few years older, well, have your ideas on that changed at all?
My ideas haven't changed. In fact, I'm very glad that I made that decision. I would do it again if I had to. But I'm not saying it's right that the parents got no rights to take their kids with them. But then, you know, I would look out also on the other hand for my kids. If I was going to take my kids to some country where they're going to be punished and they're going to be marked for the rest of their lives due to this, I would definitely think about twice about going back.
During the long period of trials that you went through, did you ever feel like you were being used as a pawn in the Cold War with, different sides trying to capitalize on your case?
I don't think anybody was really capitalizing on me, or I think everybody that was really involved in it was basically doing it in my interest and out of their own heart, because they knew where I was coming from. And I don't think people really took advantage of me.
The appeals were still in process when you turned 18, but when you turned 18, you legally became an adult, and then the case got thrown out because as an adult, you have the right to decide where you're going to live, so your parents could no longer claim custody over you. How did you celebrate your 18th birthday?
I went to Washington, D.C. I did a few TV shows while there, because it was a real big and emotional thing for me, because I was like struggling till this date, and that's why I wrote the book. I just want American people to know what kind of struggle I went through and how much I fought for freedom. So I'd just like to say to them, don't take freedom for granted. It's the most precious thing you could have.
How did you get to learn English? Did you just pick it up or did you study it?
I picked it up. I think it took me about a year and a half or so before I really started speaking and understanding I could have a regular conversation.
A lot of Soviets who move to the United States end up living in Soviet emigre communities where, you know, you can speak Russian and people will understand, where there's a certain amount of Russian foods that are sold and a certain amount of Russian culture is maintained. Do you live in a Ukrainian or Soviet community?
No, I don't. I'm not that far from Ukrainian community. In fact, I used to be pretty well involved with the Ukrainian community, playing soccer for the Ukrainian club and doing all kind of things like that. I think as you get older, life gets a little more complicated, and I don't have that much free time to do those kind of things. I've got to work full-time now and go to school and a lot of other things to take care of.
You're in college now?
Right. I'm living in Chicago now on the northwest side, and I'm working for a public relations company, Hill & Knowlton, where I just do general office, run Xerox machine, and do their mail. And I go to Columbia College, where I'm pursuing my education with TV broadcasting.
Really? How come you chose that?
I've been around media for such a long time on a every day or every weekly basis or every monthly basis, where it became part of my life. So I got real interested in it, and I like to see what it's like to be on the other side.
So what do you want to be, an anchor person, a reporter? Anchor person?
Right. Hopefully I can do something like you're doing.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with
us. Thank you.
Walter Plevchak's account of his life in the United States is titled Freedom's Child. This is Fresh Air.